Blog Talk Radio.
Today's edition of The Cheapest Meal presented by Deep Fried Draft. My name is Brian Bosarge. Got a great show coming up for you in just a few minutes. We're going to talk with Arif Hassan from Zone Coverage. We're going to talk about all things Minnesota Vikings. Last week we talked to Joe Goodberry for 30-plus minutes about the Cincinnati Bengals, and it was the highest listened to podcast of our existence here. This will be our 15th episode of The Cheapest Meal. So things are looking up here at deepfrieddraft.com. Speaking of things that are looking up, are you planning a Disney vacation anytime soon? Well, if you are, you can contact Rebecca Bosarge at rbosarge@coastersandcastlestravel.com. Let her take the hard work out of it for you, and you just enjoy your vacation. rbosarge@coastersandcastlestravel.com. Her services are free. All you got to do is send in the email, tell her what you want. She'll do all the hard work for you. You just show up and have fun. So as we wait on Arif to call into the show today, let's talk a little bit about everything that's going on deepfrieddraft.com, kind of in a lull right now as we wait on the college football season to begin, which week zero begins next week. We'll probably have a preview podcast just talking about the games that I'll be watching in week zero and talking about anything else that's happening. I know next Saturday, I believe, we are going to have John Ledyard of the Draft Network on. We're going to talk to him about he covers the SEC beat for the Draft Network. So always anxious to talk SEC football with anybody there. So we got that to look forward to as we wait on Arif, still waiting for Arif Hassan to call in here. So last night, Bengals-Cowboys game, Bengals had to come back here and win that one. The backups had to come back and win another game for them. You can read all about that. I also write a lot at WBLZmedia.com. You can read about all of the – I've been every day previewing different conferences for college football. I write about the Bengals there and a whole lot more. So you can go to WBLZmedia.com and read everything that I've written there. Again, latest thing up on deepfrieddraft.com, I had a prospect preview for Ron LaForce, safety from New Mexico State, up there. That was up a few weeks ago. So we got that happening there at deepfrieddraft.com. Also, coming up probably sometime during this week, we will update our prospect rankings as we head into the season. Kind of try to get that updated for everybody so that everybody's kind of familiar where I stand heading into the season as we go in. All right. Now our guest has arrived. He covers the Vikings for Zone Coverage Minnesota, the best there is for Minnesota sports coverage. Thanks for joining me today. He is Arif Hassan. Arif, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Hey, we're two preseason games in. We've had all of training camp. So how are those Minnesota Vikings looking to you?
I think there are some questions to be answered on offense, but I think the defense looks phenomenal.
Right. I called some of the game yesterday, and the offense was kind of looking a little sluggish there. But you've got a couple of undrafted running backs that have looked pretty phenomenal here through two games, and Mike Boone and Rock Thomas. Talk to me about those guys.
Yeah, sure. So Rock Thomas is a five-star recruit. I believe he went to Auburn. before he decided to transfer because he wasn't getting playing time. So he's always been kind of an intriguing player. You know, 6 yards a carry at Jacksonville State, which isn't bad. It's not, you know, up there with the top running backs in a typical draft class. But it's pretty good, and it's something that excited the Vikings, who typically do tend to target those five-star recruits if they fall or move somewhere. He's been pretty good in camp. He demonstrates a lot of balance and has the ability to break tackles with that balance. Mike Boone is a little bit different. He wasn't this highly recruited, but he's an enormous athlete. He's an incredible athlete who, in his first 2 years at Cincinnati, put some incredible production together. Unfortunately, in his final 2 years, he was kind of riddled with injury and didn't have the ability to consistently produce in games. Only 4 yards a carry, which in college is pretty much the death knell for running backs. But he was really great for them in the passing game, and that's kind of showing up for the Vikings in camp, where he's doing a really good job with running routes and getting open. And as you saw in this game yesterday, 91 yards on, I think, 13 carries. I think if he took his two biggest runs away, 26 yards, 19 yards, he'd still average over 4 yards a carry, which is really impressive. And it shows you that in sort of the right circumstances, he can be consistent.
Is there room on the roster for both of those guys, or one, or are they both just out of luck?
I don't think that there's room on the roster for both of them. I think that the Vikings are really happy with having Latavius Murray as their second running back. They're only going to carry three running backs and a fullback. And C.J. Ham's the fullback now that the other fullback, Johnny Stanton, is injured. And so they're likely going to try and stash one on a practice squad. We'll see if they go through waivers. It is kind of interesting. People kind of assume that players that they like won't survive waivers. But, you know, a lot of players, more than people ever imagine every single year, do go through waivers and end up on practice squads. So it is possible that one of those two players will end up on the practice squad and the other one ends up on the roster.
Well, it got helped out a couple of years ago when they eliminated the middle cut, and now you've got 1,100 players getting cut on one day. So it's a lot easier to sneak those guys through.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you only want to add, you know, one, maybe two players off the waivers when you're done with your cuts, because you've made your 53, you're attached to your 53. And so, like you said, there's going to be 1,100 players on the chopping block. And you know, as filled out as pro scouting staffs are and as college scouting staffs are, which, you know, they use a lot of those scouting reports for those waivers, it is difficult to put in a claim on all your guys. Really, I think a lot of front offices, and maybe the Vikings do this too, they go through a checklist of the players they'd kind of already wanted to see if they were cut, rather than looking through all the players that were cut. So I think that you're right. With the giant cutdown day instead of two cutdown days, it might be easier to sneak a guy on.
Right. I wrote a piece yesterday talking about a potential of Teddy Bridgewater trade from the Jets. One scale of 1 to 10, how much do you and other Minnesota Viking fans miss Teddy Bridgewater?
Obviously it depends on the fan, but I think if you take the Vikings fan base as a whole, something like an 8 or a 9, it's pretty high. He's extraordinarily well-loved in Minnesota. He's a super likable guy, which all the Jets beat have kind of discovered. You talk to Jets players, apparently, you know, they won't stop talking about how much they love him. Very easy to start liking him. And he's got a great attitude about basically everything. So that, in addition to kind of the upside he showed right before he got injured, I think all of that really contributes to how much Vikings fans do miss him. And, you know, a lot of people, and every so often I'll retweet an update about Teddy Bridgewater, and you know, a couple of people will be like, hey, you cover the Vikings, don't talk about this. But a ton of people, more people, are way more interested in hearing about Bridgewater than they are in hoping that they don't see Bridgewater on their feed.
All right, well, the Vikings did move on from Teddy Bridgewater, or let him go, but they brought in Kirk Cousins and gave him a totally guaranteed contract. What kind of an impact are you expecting from Kirk Cousins this year and beyond?
Yeah, I think the Vikings signed Cousins because, you know, they can't rely on Keenum to be that consistent year to year. And so they know that the likelihood of Cousins repeating Keenum's season might itself be low, but it's higher than Keenum's chances of repeating Keenum's season. So even if they don't fit kind of that offensive production as they did last year, I think they'll be happy. And I think the expectations are that you'll end up with a quarterback who relies on a sophisticated play action game that has the ability to throw 30, 35 times a game, maybe even 40 times a game if necessary, but doesn't have to with their running back. And I would expect that with Cousins kind of under center, they expect their offense to be in the top 10 in points scored and are pushing to try and be in the top 5, given how talented the supporting cast around them is.
Speaking of talent, your general manager, Rick Spielman there, he's done an excellent job securing the team's future long-term deals for most of the core players. Is there anybody left to sign? Do you have any money left to sign those guys?
Yeah, I think, there's a debate about, what they're going to do with Anthony Barr and whether or not they have the ability to sign him and what kind of roster room is available for him. And that gets kind of put up against the likelihood of extending someone like Trey Waynes, who a lot of people, they're happy with him, but, they're not as confident that the Vikings kind of need to extend him, especially now that they've drafted a first-round cornerback. And so that could be an area where you kind of cut costs where you don't have to necessarily extend him. And then they've got Sheldon Richardson with the Vikings on a one-year deal. And if Richardson kind of likes the environment enough and if he performs well enough, the Vikings will certainly look into whether or not they want to extend him or, kind of approach next year's draft, which is just filled with defensive tackles, maybe grab a cheaper option.
Right. First-round pick a couple of years ago, Laquon Treadwell's basically done jack squat since he's been in the league. Is this a make-or-break year for him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously the Vikings weren't going to let him go almost no matter what happened on the field last year. 200 yards, that's an improvement over 15, I guess. So last year wasn't going to be a make-or-break year, and that would make this year that year. The difference between him and Cordarrelle Patterson is that Patterson offered, something a lot more tantalizing. People wanted to find ways to use him, but B, he was always valuable in the kick return game. If they stop messing with the kick returns, maybe he'll end up as kind of one of the top kick returners of our era. Whereas Treadwell, you don't get anything like that. He's not a particularly great special teamer. He can be useful as a punt gunner, but really he just has to make his way as a receiver. And so if he can't do that, then there's not really much of a reason to keep him on the roster, unlike with someone like Patterson, where you always had a reason and you just kind of wanted more. So I think that even though his contract's not up, and even though I think a good chunk of it is guaranteed, this for sure is going to be the year where they kind of decide his fate.
Yeah, I really like I like Treadwell coming out, obviously, as most did. But speaking of draft picks, 2018 draft class this year, I really liked most of the Vikings late rounders more than I did, say, the early rounders per se. Who was your favorite draft pick they made this year?
Well, now that I got to see him in camp, it's very difficult for me to say, anybody but Mike Hughes, just because Hughes looks phenomenal. But I didn't like the pick at the time for strategic reasons. I thought they should have invested in an offensive lineman that they could play right away. And I still think that might bear out. My favorite draft pick, that one's tough. I wasn't super enamored with a lot of the draft class. I wasn't a huge fan of Jalen Holmes. I kind of like Colby Gossett, but as a sixth-rounder, it was difficult to get excited about him. Not a huge fan of Ade Aruna. I don't really care that much about kickers. It was difficult for me to kind of figure out sort of who in the draft class kind of excited me the most. Brian O'Neill is somebody that I thought they got good value on, but it doesn't kind of fit what they kind of need right now, which is somebody who has the ability to play right away. Brian O'Neill is somebody I came into the draft not liking because I thought he would be kind of a late first-round pick, and in that context, I didn't think he was a very good pick. But in the context of being a late second-round pick, I think that that's actually pretty excellent for the Vikings. So I guess you could say, I'm a fan of the O'Neill pick in that regard.
And on the flip side of that, what pick was just negative for you?
That's the thing about this draft is it didn't excite me and it didn't really anger me, I thought it's difficult to be angry, for example, about the Mike Hughes pick because, I thought he was an excellent player coming out of the draft, so I get the reasoning behind it. I just thought it was kind of a misplacement of priorities. Really, the the things that bothered me the most are the things that didn't happen. The Vikings weren't aggressive about moving up in the second round. It sounded like they wanted to target one of the three guards that kind of went early. They had their eye on Connor Williams, for example. They had their eye on the Browns guard, who I think Austin Corbett, who they're trying at tackle now for some reason. So I'm more upset that they didn't they weren't aggressive about what they were going to try and accomplish in the draft, and they just kind of let the draft fall to them in a way that I don't think they were even all that excited about.
I'll tell you what I got excited about, and I'm not even talking about Mike Boone or Rock Thomas, but I had five undrafted players. I had five guys in my top 200 that the Vikings brought in as undrafted free agents. And I was just
phenomenal
enamored
undrafted class.
With their eighth round class there. Now, you've already lost Hercules Mata'afa, but I've heard great things about Holton Hill out of camp from you and other guys. So talk to me about Holton Hill first.
Yeah, Holton Hill had a really great rookie camp. He had a really great first couple of days at training camp. He struggled a little bit in the middle, but he's come back on, especially now that he got to play against like Tanner Lee and Cody Kessler in the joint practices. But you know, he's looked really good. The only issue for him is that because it's such a deep cornerback room with, you know, you've got Xavier and Trey and Mac Alexander and now Mike Hughes, and you've got Terrence Newman, you've got your punt returner Marcus Sherrills. It's a very difficult roster to make, and he therefore has to perform well on special teams, and he actually has not been doing a very good job as a special teamer. I think Holton Hill kind of looks like a third-round cornerback, a decent third-round cornerback. When you watch him in practices play cornerback, he'll give up a couple to, you know, people like Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. He'll occasionally give up something to, like, say, Caleb Jones or something like that. But for the most part, he's looked really good as a corner. I think he's a rosterable corner. I think that he should be on a roster somewhere. And I think it's going to end up being Minnesota. But the issue for him is that on special teams, he's not doing a great job.
Right. Another two guys I like were the two wide receivers, Corey Robertson from Southern Miss and Jake Wynicke from South Dakota State. Any chance that any of those guys are going to contribute this year?
It kind of depends on how the injury situation shakes out for the Vikings. They actually really like Brandon Zylstra, who is a CFL receiver who spent, I think, 2 years in the CFL after he was at Concordia Moorhead. So he's a 25-year-old rookie. And it kind of shows he's actually doing a lot better than a lot of those undrafted rookies. He's actually looking better than Jake Wynicke and Corey Robertson, and Chad Beebe and Jeff Battitt. So it kind of depends on how healthy he is, how healthy Stacy Coley is, who I think is a fifth round pick from last year. And you know, because they kind of like what Coley's done, but I think altogether throughout the off season, Coley's been healthy for a full week. And so it's very difficult for them to rely on him. And so then you have to look at, say, someone like Corey Robertson, who I think has been struggling a lot in camp. You know, we know that he's a yak guy. We know that he has the ability to kind of power through tackles. He can really be kind of a running back out wide, but he's getting, but they're kind of asking him to separate a lot more, and it's not something he's doing very well with. And Jake Wynicke is not that dissimilar in that, you know, he's not as much of a yak guy. He's, you know, an air ball guy. But he also isn't meant to separate all that much, and he hasn't been separating a ton in camp, but he at least has been winning a good chunk of those air balls. He looks pretty decent on slants. And so, you know, I think Wynicke is looking a little bit better. I don't think Robertson is a practice squad candidate at the moment, which is surprising to me too. I think Wynicke is a practice squad candidate, but I don't think he's necessarily a first-year kind of roster candidate.
Right. Gotcha. Speaking of undrafted guys, Minnesota signed last year a guy that I was all over and may have been the only one in the draft community that really liked was Dylan Bradley from Southern Miss. Now, he's obviously not on the roster anymore and don't think he's on anybody else's roster, but I really wanted to see him get a chance. What happened there with him? Was he just another guy?
It was tough for him. You know, coming out, I mean, it was 265 pounds. As a defensive tackle, you know, that's tough. You know, they considered converting him to defensive end, and he didn't really have kind of the bend or the agility to play a defensive end, and it would take a really long time for him to build up the weight to play a defensive tackle. And I think ultimately they tried him out at end to play as a power end, and That was tough because the Vikings have a lot more depth at defensive end than they do at defensive tackle. So he had to compete with players like Stephen Weatherly, who was a draft pick, Tayshaun Bower, who really impressed in the preseason. You know, Brian Robinson is still there. And, you know, they're not going to make a ton of room available for, like, your sixth or seventh defensive end. So it was really tough. I actually liked him a lot, too, coming out. He looked great in terms of generating pressure. He was surprisingly good in the run game for someone of his size. But, you know, he kept on getting bullied by, you know, the second or third string offensive line. And it was difficult for him to transition back from defensive tackle to defensive end. It was just kind of a size skill thing. You know, I don't think you were wrong to like him. I think that, you know, he had a lot of potential. I thought the Vikings signing him was a good move. But, you know, sometimes the odds kind of just don't play out in your favor. And he just kind of had the wrong combination of skills to body type.
He strikes me as the kind of guy that this new Alliance of American Football League is going to be built for, guys like that, guys who just didn't mm-hmm. have it at that point in time to make it in the NFL. But he goes there, plays maybe a year or two in the AAF, and then, you know, 2 years from now, he's ready. He's bulked up to 280, 290, and he's ready to terrorize the inside in the NFL.
So, yeah, no, absolutely. I think so.
You got two more preseason games left. What are the biggest battles left that we still have to see play out over these last two games?
In terms of trying to figure out, you know, positional spots, you know, it sounds like Mackenzie Alexander is healthy, so he is competing with Mike Hughes for that starting nickel spot. So that's going to be a positional battle. What's going to happen in that fourth safety spot, if Jayron Kearse is going to still hold on to it, or whether or not Trey Matthews has the ability to kind of grab onto it. Jack Tocho had a pretty awful showing at the beginning of his preseason, but has looked really good since then, so he could push for that. The third running back spot, we already talked about that a little bit. You know, that's going to be a big competition. And then, you know, they're going to see, you know, which wide receivers are healthy, what's going to happen at defensive tackle. They have moved to defensive end to defensive tackle. Besides just Jalen Holmes, they also moved to Fadi Adenibo. And so, you know, he's been looking good there. I think those are kind of the bigger battles that they're having there. And then, of course, like I mentioned, 6/7 cornerback spot. Are they going to carry 7? If they are, that's probably Holton Hill. If they aren't, is it going to be Holton Hill or Marcus Sherrills? If it's not Marcus Sherrills, what are they going to do at punt return? Those are kind of all of the things we're trying to figure out.
Is there really a kicking competition between Kai Forbath and Daniel Carlson, or is this just posturing and it's Carlson's job?
I mean, it is Carlson's job to lose. If he, you know, screws up over the next two games, he certainly will lose it. But kind of all indications from here are that it's, you know, kind of by default, it's Daniel Carlson until he gives them a reason to get cut. Otherwise, you know, Kai Forbath is going. He's talented enough to land somewhere else in the league. So, you know, I'm not going to feel too bad because he's going to end up, you know, hopefully somewhere he likes. That's kind of the important part. But I'm really confident he's going to end up somewhere because he is talented enough to kick field goals in the NFL. But for now, yeah, I think it is Carlson's job to lose.
I would just hate to see Minnesota go the same route Cincinnati did last year and cut their fifth-round kicker and only to see him kicking field goals in the Super Bowl. I mean, I would hate for anybody else to see that because you decided Randy Bullock was the safer guy.
Well, you can tackle, right? So,
Arif, I met you last year down at the Senior Bowl, and I'm pretty sure you probably come down here every year or almost every year. So I ask everybody, because I'm from Mobile, so I'm down here 24/7. So I ask everybody, all of my out of town guests that I talk to that come down for the Senior Bowl, what's your favorite place to eat when you come to Mobile?
Oh man, last year I actually we had an Airbnb with a grill, so I really enjoyed that. But man, I wish I could remember the name of the place. It's a barbecue joint, which I mean that's not surprising in Mobile. But they had this pork belly sandwich there for like $5. Man. I really wish I could remember the name. Well, I'm going to Google this right now because this is important to me.
Okay. Yeah. I introduced Pete Smith to the Brick Pit, and he goes there like 3 or 4 times every time he's down here. That's like his breakfast, lunch, and dinner, his pulled pork sandwiches.
Let's see. Is it the Brick Pit, actually? Hold on. I don't think it's Dickie's.
It could be.
I think it's the Brick Pit. Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed the Brick Pit. That place is amazing.
Yeah. It's good stuff. It closed for like a month, and everybody was panicking around here and everything, but it turns out they were just renovating or something. So it's okay. It's still open, still there. But speaking of the Senior Bowl, probably in 2 or 3 years we're changing locations of that game, so you'll have to get used to a different setup when you come down here in probably 2020.
Oh, no. I've gotten used to my routine.
Yeah, well, the routine's going to – I would imagine they're going to keep the players' hotel and everything in the same spot because there's really not a whole lot of options for something of that large. But the game itself is in all likelihood going to move to South Alabama's new on-campus stadium. And they're hoping it can be operational by 2020. If that's the case, it'll move then. If not, it'll be a year after that. So within the next 3 years, the Senior Bowl is 95% changing locales, and practices will be held there as well.
All right. Well, that's good to know. I'm sure it's for the better for everybody, so I'll be excited to see what kind of improvements they make.
Well, Ladd Stadium in itself is a shithole, so everybody's pretty pretty excited to have something newer to go to. And me personally, like I said, I told somebody the other day, when I turn out of my neighborhood, I would literally have to make one right turn to get to South Alabama's campus. So it's better for me. So I can't speak for everybody else, but it's definitely better for me.
All right. Well, that's good to hear.
Well, Reef, tell everybody where they can find your work.
You can find my work at zonecoverage.com. I post every article I write onto my Twitter feed. That's at Arif Hassan NFL, A-R-I-F-H-A-S-A-N NFL. Yeah.
All right. I appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule here today to talk Vikings with me, and I hope to have you on again at a later date.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Thanks, Arif. That was Arif Hassan of Zone Coverage. We covered pretty much the full gamut there of the Minnesota Vikings. So as I said, you can follow his work at zonecoverage.com. It's great if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan or you just want to familiarize yourself with the Vikings. I would advise any and everybody to go there and study up on the Minnesota Vikings. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Cheap Meal. As always, follow me on Twitter at Deep Fried Draft, and you can find all of my work at deepfrieddraft.com. Download this podcast at blogtalkradio.com/deepfrieddraft. You can also search Deep Fried Draft on iTunes and Stitcher. If that's the way you do it, download the podcast there. And if you're doing it on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. We like the positive feedback. But thanks, everybody, for listening. Until next time.